So today and next week, we're taking a bit of a break from our series called Some Good News, and we're taking that break for a really good reason. First of all, a week from today or from this service, we're going to be doing a Zoom service where we're going to be celebrating communion. We're going to be celebrating Connor, our new youth pastor, commissioning service for him. We're going to be witnessing a couple of baptisms, and we're doing a farewell for our associate, Amanda Van Hultren. And so we want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Sign up for this. Go to our webpage, go to the events page and section, and then sign up if you haven't signed up either for the 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock service. So that's a week from this service. But what we're doing today is talking and teaching about technology, believe it or not, me talking about technology, that has allowed us to continue to do this over this season of COVID. But this particular technology that I want to talk about has a big downside. To illustrate, imagine, for example, a knife. A sharp knife allows you to cut a fresh in-season tomato. My favorite sandwiches are tomato sandwiches, by the way. You slice that tomato, and then you put it on a thick slab of cheese and bacon and a pickle. And then on, obviously, that's between nice toast, which has mayonnaise on it. And that's an incredible sandwich. And that knife can enable you to slice those tomatoes and to ultimately enjoy that sandwich. But a knife can also do a lot of damage, and it can and cause a lot of hurt. Well, technology is the same. It can bless or curse. It can strengthen or weaken. It can aid us or become a huge addiction. And so what I want to talk to you about today, the piece of technology, is digital church. Whether that's through Zoom or YouTube, which is happening right now, or Facebook or Instagram, it's the way that many of us will continue to connect or meet until a vaccine is discovered. Now, digital church is an amazing tool. Where would we be without it if we didn't have it these days? It can feed something in us that is not healthy. It can lead us in ways that does not land us in a great spot. In fact, here's how I would say it. Digital church can cater. It can cater to our consumeristic appetites. Digital church can actually cater to our consumeristic appetites. And in the context of how I'm using that, that's not a great thing. For example, think of this format that we're meeting on right now. We can watch when we want, where we want, how much we want. We can skip church and no one will notice. We can fast forward to the section that most interests you. You can fast forward me right now, right? We can do multitasking while watching, carry on a conversation, go to the bathroom, get something from the fridge. Nobody notices. We can attend in our pajamas, which some of you are doing right now. We can be dressed to the nines. We could even come naked. I mean, it wouldn't really matter if we're all alone watching this service on a couch or wherever you are. We can also check out the best sermon. This might not be the best sermon. You could check out the best sermon. It could be from Idaho or India or British Columbia. And while that's awesome, it can result in very little accountability and ownership. We can also trade in the hard pews, which we have for the last 6 months, trade in the hard pews of Bethel for that soft seat that you're sitting on right now. And while attending the church in the actual sanctuary like we used to can provide some degree of anonymity, digital church takes anonymity, the potential for it, to a whole new level. Now, I'm not saying that digital church is wrong, not at all, but it can be a tool that caters to some of our consumeristic appetites and may not always be healthy. And I imagine that you would all agree. For some, for example, has given you the excuse that says, I will connect once we're back in person. So as a result, if you're part of Bethel Church, you've seen the Zoom invites, you've seen the YouTube services, you've seen the life groups that are digital, perhaps the TED Talks that we've done, all these digital platforms, all these invites, and you've kind of said, no, I don't think I'm going to really engage until we kind of get back to normal. Or if you're new at Bethel, going digital has allowed you to delay the process of assimilation and stay anonymous until perhaps we see you in the building sometime. See, digital church can cater to our consumeristic appetites, and it can actually allow us to develop, I think, some bad habits. And in fact, such bad habits that when we do reconvene and when we do start meeting again, some of those habits will be really, really hard to break. So let me give you Bethel's definition of digital church. What being part of digital church means to us. Now, as your senior pastor, I know I speak for the whole leadership team when I say this, that going digital is not to cater to our consumeristic appetites, but it is a tool to enable us to continue to pursue Christ in community, in the local church, as we serve Christ, as we serve in the name of Christ, whether it's in the city, nation, and world, in a way that is consistent with our talents and our resources and our gifts and our passions and our callings and all of that. It is to enable, not disable. It is to empower, not disempower. So, big question, what does digital mean, number one? And while I answer that question, I want you to answer this question on a personal level. Am I choosing to be part of digital church? Because we want everybody at Bethel who's watching to choose to be engaged in digital church in a number of different ways. So, our texts this morning are very, very familiar texts. If you've grown up in the church, you've read these 100 times. But these are really important. These are foundational texts to ecclesiology, to the nature of the church. So let me read these to you. They're on the screen. Jesus speaking in Matthew 28, just before his ascension, and he says these things. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And then in Acts chapter 2, after his ascension, the church is birthed. And Luke, writing commentary on the early church, says, and they, the Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And there's a lot more to be said there. Read down further. It's a wonderful description of the birth of the church. Question, what does digital church mean? Here's the letter D. What does D stand for? You probably could guess it, perhaps, if you've been around Bethel long enough. It stands for discipleship. That digital church is committed to discipleship. It's a church characterized by individual members' perseverance to spiritual growth. It's a commitment to the path. For example, notice in Matthew chapter 28, we see that Jesus says, make disciples. That's a command. Make pupils, make students, make learners. And then as you come to Acts chapter 2, we see school is in session. So you could say it this way, that Acts chapter 2 is a great example of the Great Commission. Jesus gives the Great Commission. He gives the charge. He gives the calling to make disciples. And then Acts chapter 2 is a great example of the Great Commission. So notice a number of things here. Notice that Jesus says in chapter 28 of Matthew, I have all authority on heaven and earth. I got it all. Now, what am I going to use my authority to tell you? My authority is going to be used to challenge you, to command you to make disciples. That's the business of the church. And he initially tells it to his 11 disciples in verse 16, which is not on the screen, but it's in your Bible if you have your Bible open. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see that those disciples took Jesus seriously. It was a command. There weren't any options. And so they took that seriously. And therefore, Acts chapter 2 is a great example of the Great Commission. And we see them making disciples. And what do we note in Acts chapter 2? That people are becoming disciples. They're becoming pupils and learners and followers of Christ. And it says they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the early church. In other words, they were very intentional about their newfound faith. And we know that because of that one little word in Acts chapter 2. It says, they devoted. In other words, they persevered in the activity of saying, I am a follower of Christ. And if that's true, then I have to do everything within my power to grow in my faith in Christ. And so the early church was characterized by devotion and a commitment to their own discipleship path. So, here's a great example of that that I came across this week. This past Saturday, I was sitting on my deck and I was looking down, and we live on the lake in Sydenham, and there's a trail that cuts between our house and the lake. It's called the Cataractway Trail. And as I was looking down on the trail that day on a beautiful Saturday morning, a sunny morning, this old guy goes running by. He's not that old because he's not much older than I am, but he runs by and he's going at a snail's pace. And I go, good for that guy. He's an inspiration. Look at him. He's running by my house. Well, the crazy thing is that 10 hours later, I'm out on my deck, walking around the yard, and that guy runs by again. So on his way back, because he would come by our house again as he would go to the road and then turn around and go back, I got down on the trail and I said, I got to meet this guy. And this guy's name is Jack. And we started talking and he turns out he's 69 years old. And I said, Jack, how far are you running today? And you won't believe what he said to me. He said, I'm running 80 kilometers today. That's right, 80 kilometers. From his destination, from his starting point to a destination and then back. And then he was going to do that four times to equal 80 kilometers. He said that he was slow. That's true. But he was determined. See, the picture of the local church is of everyone's a Jack. If you're in the local church and you're a follower of Christ, everybody is devoted. Everybody is saying, I need to find the path of my discipleship. I need to be committed to that path. I might be slow, I might be fast, but I am devoted to that path, the path of discipleship. Now, as you look at the picture of Jack, there's something wrong with that picture too. You see, that would not have been the way Jack was running if we weren't in COVID-19. See, the reason he was running alone was because there was supposed to be a race that day. The race was canceled, so he did it on his own. And so he's running alone. He's running with no accountability. And so what I found really interesting in light of that was that he sent me an email. He somehow got online, he found my email, and he wrote these words to me. He said, Dear Mark, many thanks for your encouragement along the trail. That was a huge boost. I came through the 80 kilometer point at 13 hours and 19 minutes. Kindest regards, Jack. Notice, many thanks for your encouragement along the trail. That was a huge boost. Who would you say, hey, thank you for the encouragement along the trail? As I'm committed to my discipleship path, thanks for encouraging me along the path. So that brings us to the letter I of digital, that we all have to be committed, that my discipleship is important. I'm committed to the path, but I'm not going to run this alone. And so I stands for interdependence. That it's a church characterized by its members functioning in interdependent community. Mutual dependency. So, for example, notice in Matthew 28, Jesus says, make disciples. It's community. And notice the phenomenal thing about this, it's all nations, all ethnic groups. And so you have multiple disciples, there's community, but of diversity, of ethnic backgrounds on a common discipleship path. And then you look at Acts chapter 2, which you can see on your screen, and there's a key word there. The key word is fellowship. In other words, you're not a Jack running on your own, you're a Jack running in community. The word fellowship is partnership. It's a word that speaks of relationship. It's a word that can describe a community, and it's a word that can describe a marriage, mutual dependence. And so remember the question that we're supposed to ask is, am I choosing to be part of digital church? Am I, first of all, discipleship, committed to my own discipleship path? But secondly, am I doing that in the context of community? The gospel comes to us in community, not in isolation. In fact, the example that I think of is in just using my hands. If I was to wear a glove, this is how my fingers would look. But as soon as I would put a mitt on, this is what it would look like. And for some of us, a digital church, a definition of digital church is where we can kind of remain in isolation. We don't see each other. We don't really talk to each other. We don't unmute ourselves. We don't let anyone see us on our screen. We just kind of stay at a distance. But the picture that we're talking about is of people that are committed to that discipleship journey, and they're committed to doing it in community. And of course, there's always the late adapters. So there's always in a mitt, there's always the thumb, there's always the late adapter, the kind of the slow learner, the guy that buys in at the very end that just hasn't quite got it yet. So I want to say to you, if you're listening today, don't wait for the church to regather to be involved in community. Because if you do, you're going to be waiting a long time. For some, it's time you engaged in the digital church and made yourself known. To transition from, say, the glove of just being individual, being quiet, being private, being anonymous, to getting into the mitt. For some, it's time we unmuted ourselves, turn the video on, and so that we can see you. So the D, the I, then we come to the G. What does this G stand for? Well, Great Commission. A digital church, as we would define it, is a church that is characterized by its shared passion for and responsibility of the Great Commission. Matthew 28 asks the question, who is this command given to? Well, on the screen you won't see it, but in your Bibles, if you look at verse 16, just a couple verses back, you'll notice that Jesus is speaking to the disciples. In fact, it says, how many are there? One's gone, one's betrayed, that's Judas. He's speaking to the 11 disciples. And what are they supposed to do? They are supposed to go and make disciples. But notice it says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. So the question on the table is, who is the Great Commission given to? So the 11 disciples are told, make disciples and teach them everything I've commanded. And you say, okay, what did Jesus command? You might think, well, let's go to the Gospels and we're going to find everything that Jesus commanded, and those are the things that need to be taught. True. But you don't have to go that far back. All you have to do is look at the Great Commission, and you'll see right in verse 18, the first command that Jesus gives. The command is, make disciples. So in other words, as I am making disciples, I am to teach the command that you, a new disciple, are also to make the disciples. And as you make disciples, those new disciples are also to make disciples. So the command, the Great Commission, is given to everyone. And so while the D of digital says, I'm taking responsibility for my personal growth, I'm doing it in the context of interdependence, the met versus the glove, but I'm also understanding that I have a responsibility to make disciples and using my gifts to help people find Jesus. And so what happens as a result is that anyone that shows up in the church, whether it's gathered face-to-face, whether it's digital, everyone that gathers is not going to get lost because everybody's either A, committed to their own discipleship journey, discovering Jesus or coming to faith or growing in that faith, or everyone gets it that, hey, we're all responsible to somehow be contributing to the task of making disciples. So nobody should get lost in terms of what the point of the church is. So with this, I come back to my friend Jack, and you'll see two pictures of him here. Notice in the first picture on the left, Jack, if he was to turn around, he could see where he's come from. The trail's really, really clear. This is the trail out in front of our house. And then the picture on the right, I took a picture of Jack as he ran away from me, as he continued his journey. And there's no chance that Jack is going to somehow get confused and run into the lake, which would be on his left, or run into the woods that is on his right. The trail is super, super clear. Likewise, as we're committed to our own discipleship in the context of interdependence, understanding that that Great Commission is given to all of us, what are the chances of people getting lost in terms of what the church is all about? The church is about directing people to Jesus, helping people come to Jesus, and then grow up in Christ. And so remember the question. The question on the table today is, am I choosing to be part of digital church as we're defining it so far? Well, we're going to keep moving here. Now, the second I in digital builds on what I've said a little more. The second I is investment. Digital church is about an investment. A church characterized by its shared investment of time, talents, treasures in its local and global vision. In other words, digital is not to encourage us to be passive or anonymous or disengaged, but it's to encourage us to invest. In fact, I like if you take the first three letters of digital, it's dig. And so we are to dig in. We are to dig in and we are to invest. I think of my friend Jack, my new friend. You saw him. He took a picture of his watch here and it says 13 hours and 19 minutes. Jack invested time in order to run those 80 kilometers. And so when I come to the digital church, I understand that this is about an investment. It's an investment of my time as I build relationships and community, as I'm committed to my own discipleship path. That it demands my talents, my skills, my resources as I serve the church or as I serve the greater community. That's in a way reflected with my skills and my talents and my calling and my passion and the gospel of Jesus. But it's also an investment of my treasures, my finances in order to allow the church to function. And at Bethel, we're extremely grateful for so many of you who are faithfully giving, which allows us to, hire our new youth pastor, who you met last week, or to continue to pursue bringing over a second refugee family. These things all cost. These are big ticket items. And so we are grateful for the many of you who understand about investment. So remember the question, am I choosing to be part of digital church? In this particular context, am I investing my time, my talents and my resources. Now we come to the T. Now we have the word digit, but it stands for team, the T, which is a church characterized by serving the city, the nation, and the world. Now, when I think of team, I know that there are so many of you who are serving our city on an individual basis, and that's wonderful. And you're giving, and you're using your talents. But when we serve with other disciples, there's a magical thing that happens. When we serve in the context of team, when I serve in the context of team, I grow in my relationships with those that I'm serving in ways that I do not grow with them when I sit in a circle, whether it's digitally or face-to-face or in a pew, that when I serve, when we get dirty together, when we sweat together, when we love the community together, I'm building a relationship with those around me in a way that I would never do if I was just sitting listening to a monologue. And the second thing it does is it helps me appreciate the gifts that people have. For example, on our staff team, I really, really appreciate Carrie Oosterhoff, because she is a weed warrior. I call her a weed warrior because she's in the weeds and she sees things that I would never see. And then there's Carmen, who hosted our service today, and she loves policy. You know what? I hate policy. Absolutely hate it, but it's absolutely necessary. So when you're on a team, you go, wow, those gifts are awesome because they make us stronger and better. And so when we serve together, we're building relationship and we're going, man, these gifts are awesome, how they complete the body of Christ so that we can serve effectively. And then when you think of team, you ask yourself the question in Matthew 28, what did Jesus commission, or who did Jesus commission? What person did he commission? He didn't commission a person. He commissioned a team, 11 disciples who would make disciples. And those men and women would form teams from different nations, from different walks of life, and they likewise would go and serve. And so we have a ton of incredible teams here at Bethel. Even though we're digital, we still have our teams and we're still serving and we're still loving the city. We're still ministering to the church. We're still reaching out to the world. For example, we have a team called the Board of Directors that provide leadership to the church. We have an Elders Council that provides spiritual leadership. We have a staff team that run the day-to-day operations. We have a refugee team that are laying the tracks for our next family coming to us. We have a missions team that oversee all of our partnerships and ministry initiatives in the city and the nation and the world. We have a youth ministry team led by Connor, and he has an incredible team, I think, of 8 to 10 adults that want to love our youth and build the youth ministry. We have a family ministry team that you heard Jamie talk about today in that feature. We have life groups that represent teams coming together, not just to study God's word, but look for ways to serve the city. We have a next level men's ministry team that runs men's groups, and many of those groups serve in different capacities in our city and in our nation. We have a Bethel House team, a group of individuals overseeing our two houses where men are overcoming addictions and trying to find their way to freedom. We have a service planning team that puts these online services together. We have a reopening team because we want to reopen one day. We have a worship team that runs. We have Linehearts team, people being funneled into the Linehearts partnership and serving those who are in need of food. And we have a young adults team that works with Geneva House, a campus ministry, and Bay Park Baptist, and Bethel, coming together to help young adults get into life groups. So the question is digital church allowing you to experience the privilege of serving on team? Now, I realize that some of you can't literally come together face-to-face because of all kinds of health reasons, but many of us can, and many of us are. That's the point. Many of us are, and we're serving, and we're doing it in the context of team. And so digital, it's the T stands for team. Two more letters. The A, accountable. A church characterized by its involvement in highly intentional, trusted relationships for the purpose of fostering spiritual growth. So you can see how D-I-G-I-T, they all build on each other, and now A, accountable, builds on the previous five. I just want you to notice really briefly Matthew 28. We could look at Acts 2 as well, but Matthew 28, the little phrase, teaching them to observe. This is big time accountability. We are accountable to help each other observe, people observe all that Jesus has commanded. Now, the word observe doesn't mean kind of like window store, or what's it called, when you're shopping and you're just kind of window shopping and looking in the window and walking by and never thinking about that object again. No, to observe in this meaning here, it means to understand what Jesus is saying and then to conform my actions, my heart, my attitudes to the teachings of Jesus, to the practices of Jesus. And you know and I know that the dangers of digital church is we can become consumers of information. We can become content junkies minus the transformation. Why? Because no one is asking us the hard questions. And so if you're in the glove, no one's asking you the hard questions because you're in isolation and you're anonymous and you're not turning your screen on and you're unmuted and no one even knows maybe you're showing up. But if you're in the glove, or in the mitt, well, people know who you are, and there are people asking each other questions. And of course, the thumb is the late adapter. We've already learned that. But we're in community, and so these hard questions are being asked. And is Jesus being shaped in you? And how's your prayer life? How's your devotional life? How are you serving these days? How are you using your treasures, your time, and your talent? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Where are you struggling? How can I pray for you? Honest, robust, safe conversations where we're holding each other accountable. One of our men's group, all of our men's group have a covenant. They sign a covenant that they agree to be committed to each other. Here's an example statement from one of those groups, and it highlights accountability. I will encourage my brothers to consistently engage in spiritual disciplines, particularly the study of God's word, personal application. In other words, don't just read it and forget it, read it and do it. Meaningful worship and prayer. That's accountability. Now, why that is so important is because along the discipleship path, there are all kinds of issues that want to challenge our obedience and challenge and push back on conforming. So I come back to my friend Jack. When I had that brief conversation with my new friend Jack, he told me that he had parked his car in Sydenham, and there's a food land there, and he parked it in the parking lot, and in his car, he had all kinds of snacks. And so in this 80-kilometer run, he would come by his car, I think four times in the process, the whole day, and he would stop in, he would get some healthy snacks. But here's the problem. In Foodland, if any of you have been there, we know that Jim's Gourmet Fries is there. Man, what a temptation. Who's going to tell Jack, hey, Jack, don't go to Jim's Gourmet Fries. Stick to the healthy snacks and stay on the path. If you're running alone, maybe no one will notice. No one will know. See, accountability is about having people in our lives so that they can steer us away from Jim's Gourmet Fries. So am I choosing to be part of digital church? Digital church is about being involved in community and accountable relationships where people can help us stay away from Jim's Gourmet Fries. Or if we're going to have those fries, maybe once a month, not once a day. Digital church. Last letter. L. Love. A church characterized by the love of Christ. Now, we don't end up with love just because I sat in my office one day and I couldn't figure out one more word. And what would it start with? It has to start with an L. So, you know, it's going to be like. No, that wouldn't be good. No, how about love? You know, it's not just a random. No, we are at a digital church is about love. And I think this is really important because Scripture clearly says that we are to be known by our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I mean, Paul is talking about all kinds of activity in chapter 12, all kinds of activity in chapter 14. But verse chapter 13, he basically says, if you don't do chapter 12 and do chapter 14, in other words, if you don't do life, if you don't do ministry, if you don't use your gifts dressed in love, coated in love, with the aroma of love, then you're a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. You are like a piano that's out of tune. You are, it adds up to nothing. You must love one another. And I think this is actually very, very important in this day and age of hate speech and cancel culture. I mean, we believe as a church we need to love. Now, love is a moral compass. But love also means that we love those with different moral compasses. It means that we don't always agree with those that we love. It means we love people that we don't necessarily align with. But we're to love. And there's a lot more that could be said about that, but I think it's a really important part to understand about digital church. And guess what? We can be involved in digital church and we can love each other and we can initiate ministry events and programs for the city to love people, to be the hands and feet of Christ to the city. So, as we gear up for the fall, you're perhaps a student watching this, perhaps you're an old person, perhaps you're a single person, a married person, a young, whatever your demographic, male, female, whatever, perhaps you're a follower of Christ, perhaps you don't even know who Jesus is, and that's totally fine. You can choose. We can all choose and say, I am going to be part of digital church. When we regather, great. But the reality is that when we regather, the vast majority of us will still be connected, only have the option of connecting via digital church. So the challenge is, let's do digital really, really well. How do we do it really, really well? The slide. There are all the characteristics of what we mean by digital. So this is what I want you to do. There are three action steps really quickly. All of us need to be casting vision for Bethel by means of talking about what digital means. So I want you to stop your video, take a picture of this screenshot, and understand what those letters stand for. And so if you are a Christ follower, and say you're part of digital church, say you're one of the four up here, right? This is the MIT. And so you're maybe doing fine, but you know of people at Bethel who are like this. They're late adapters. They don't like digital. They don't think you can build community on a screen. They're going to wait till the church regathers. Well, somebody in this group needs to go to this thumb and say, look, don't wait. Get involved in digital. So we need you to take a picture, because you need to be a vision caster for us to help people understand, hey, this is the new way for now. Even though we may be able to reopen, but for the vast majority, it is going to be digital, and the four need to go after the one and bring them in to community. So that's why you need to take a picture. But there's another reason you might need to take a picture of this screen, and that is because we need you to pray, like we talked about last week. We need you to pray hard. We need you to pray aggressively and passionately and zealously, and praying that the body of Christ, not only Bethel, but the churches across Kingston, in fact, the churches across Canada, that there would be rich, vibrant community as people engage in digital. It's a tremendous tool for the expansion of the kingdom of God. And so we need to be praying for meaningful digital churches across our nation. And then finally, some of us, as we're listening today, need to go digital. We need to turn on our view. We need to unmute ourselves, and we need to engage and not wait any longer for things to return to normal. As I close, I come back to my friend Jack. There he is. The time on his watch said 13 hours and so many seconds, so many minutes. 13 hours. It was a long run, 80 kilometers. Digital is going to be a long run before we're back to normal, whatever normal is. So don't put off being involved in digital church. So here's your first assignment. You can sign up for our Zoom service week after this one. Just go to our website, sign up, and engage in the baptisms, and engage in the commissioning, and engage in the farewell for Amanda, and participate in communion. Or as you hear about life groups, long-term, short-term, get involved, ask a question, connect. We'd love to feed you into life groups. In fact, I would say life groups is the most important ministry of the church, especially these days. So will you be involved in digital church? And will you be a good pitch woman, pitch man, salesperson to promote and to recruit and to help some of our people who have not yet engaged to engage in the vision of digital church in this day? Let's pray. Lord, we want to be your church. We want to take your command of making disciples really, really seriously. We want to be devoted to our own discipleship. We want to experience rich community in these days as we move into the fall with all of its uncertainties. The amazing thing, Lord, is I know that when you commissioned those 11 disciples to go and make disciples who would then go and make disciples, that you could envision very easily the next 2,000 years of all of the ups and downs of the church. And you saw 2020 with 2020 vision, absolute clarity. And you knew that this would be a new way of doing church for a season, for so many. So I thank you, Lord, that as you back then commissioned the disciples, you now are commissioning us to make disciples and embrace the methodologies and ways of doing that we would never, ever thought. So help us to do well this fall with this new format, so that people come to faith, grow up in their faith, and help others come to faith. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.